Amen. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for your faithfulness, your steadfast love in the morning, and your faithfulness at night. You go before us. You come behind us. You are with us. Every moment of the believer's life is one lived out with you in the reality of your presence and your goodness for us, Lord. So we thank you for that wonderful truth, and I do pray, Lord, that it would encourage us and sustain us in our walks, in our pilgrimage here. We look to you now, Lord. Please help us as we look to your word to see you and to be content and satisfied and joyful in you, Lord, tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, 2 to 6 years old. If you want to head back in the class with Britt, she's going to turn you all into singers. So that's how we grow our church, through having babies, and we grow our worship ministry through making the babies singers. So so it's good. Thank you, Britt, for doing that. We're going to be in John chapter 17. Verses 6, 7, and 8 tonight. So a small passage, a short one, but just really packed with a ton of encouraging and helpful truths. And so I just want to spend a little bit of time together tonight looking at that in particular. I was thinking earlier about Proverbs 27, 19. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and we were having this conversation about, identity and who we are. Proverbs 27:19 says this: as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. So just as you look into a body of water and you see your reflection, you see an accurate picture of who you are. You may wish something about you is different. You may wish that you could change a facial feature that you have, and then you might close your eyes and pray and ask for the Lord to change that facial feature. But the moment that you open up your eyes and you look at that water, what you're going to see is who you really are. And what the scripture tells us is that that is actually what's true for the heart as well. Who you are internally in the heart, that is the real you. We do a really good job at time of masking that and hiding that real us from those who are around us. And sometimes I think we even do a good job of masking that real us from ourselves. But there is a person that we cannot mask our real selves from, and that is from the Lord. He knows, he sees all things all the time, 100% accurately. And so who the Lord sees you to be in your heart internally, that is the real you. That means that in our effort to be conformed into the image of Christ, we must cease to become who we are, so that when we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see our reflection, what we see is a person growing and changing to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, which takes a work of God. But I do believe that one of the things that the Lord helps us and gives us an aid in as we seek to grow, to change, to be more like Christ, I want to be less me. And I want to be more him. And one of the things that the Lord does to help me become less me and more him is looking upon him and gazing upon him and being mindful of him and his goodness and his kindness and his mercy and grace towards me. As I behold him, I become like him. I want to be like the one that I behold, because when I behold him, I see one who is infinitely rich in mercy and grace and kindness towards me. And how can I not then love that one and worship that one and then become like the one that I'm beholding? To where then when I look at my reflection, hopefully I'm seeing less and less of me and seeing more and more of the character of Christ being reflected in my life. And I think that I'm speaking to a group of people who are saying, yeah, I, I kind of like that too to happen in my life. That's the reason why I just want to park on these three verses tonight. I don't have any points laid out for us. I just want for us to hear what it is that we see our Lord Jesus, the Son, saying to the Father. And as he declares these things, we take them home with us. We see them branded, seared onto our hearts to understand the truth of them, because I believe that embracing truths like this that we see in our text tonight, those are the truths that actually help conform us to be more like Christ. As my heart is filled with gratitude, as my heart is filled with assurance, which is the title of our message, Blessed Assurance, as I'm filled with the assurance of what I hear my Lord saying to the Father on my behalf, and if you be in Christ on your behalf as well, your heart just soars in worship and in gratitude of who he is and what he's done. So, what does it say? Well, let's read John 17, verses 6, 7, and 8 tonight. And I pray we are encouraged by them. John 17, 6. Again, we keep in mind that this is Jesus' speaking to the Father. And you can imagine the disciples, they're just onlookers. It's like Jesus is talking to them, and then the next moment he's turning and he's talking to the Father, and they're listening and they're witnessing this. But in a sense, we're witnessing it too, because what he says in their midst for them, every time you read the scripture, he's saying in your midst and for you as well. So John 17, 6, this is our Lord. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Can you imagine being a disciple in the presence of the Lord, and you hear him and you see him speaking to his Father, and he's talking about you, those whom the Father has given the Son, have come out of the world. They belong to the Son because the Father gave them to the Son, and they have come to know who the Son is. They've received his words. They've believed. Like, he's talking about them to the Father in their presence. And beloved, I submit to you that when you read this passage tonight, that's the same experience that you and I should be having. He is speaking to the Father about you as you read what he's saying about you to the Father. And there's a tremendous amount of assurance that we gather from this. A tremendous amount. I mean, listen to what he says and think about what he says. I have manifested your name. He's speaking to the Father. Father, I have manifested. I've revealed. I've uncovered it. It's something that was once not fully clear and hidden, but yet made clear and revealed. I have revealed, I have manifested your name, God's very identity. The unseen God has been revealed, I mean, to them. I think about what it is that Philip had earlier said to Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. I mean, he's already told them and shown them that to see him is to see the Father. He's revealed the Father completely to them, the identity of who God is, this majestic, immutable, triune, eternal God, that his very identity has been revealed to them because the Son has revealed it to them. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. I mean, the Son manifests, he reveals the Father's identity to those whom the Father is giving to the Son. And only those, to those whom the Father is giving to the Son. I mean, this passage begins to breed life to doctrines like irresistible grace and limited atonement. It is those whom the Father gives to the Son that end up coming to the Son. And it is limited to those and that the Father gives to the Son, and those whom the Father gives to the Son will come to him irresistibly. Because, why? They were yours, they were. Why is it that people come to know Christ? Because they were the Father's before the foundation of the world. And what we see every time someone comes to know Christ is just, it's the eternal transaction declared by God in eternity past actually come into fruition at a certain point in time in someone's life. And it's this transaction between the Father giving his own people out of the world to the Son. And this, yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. This phrase, you gave them to me, it's a specific way of talking about somebody giving something to somebody else because of a reciprocalness to their relationship. There's a pre-existing relationship that has already been established between the Father and the Son. And so the reason why the Son receives people is because they belong to the Father, and the Father is giving them relationally over to the Son so that the Son might hold them, and so that those who are given to the Son, you and me, might know that the reason why we are in the hands of the Son is because the Father has eternally drawn us out of the world and planned to give us to him. Let me ask you this. What is God's success rate in salvation? 100%. 100%. What's the church's success rate in seeing salvation? 100%. Right? I mean, those whom the Father give to the Son will come to the Son. And the reason why they come to the Son is because the Father has drawn them out of the world and appointed them to go. This has been, passages like this, I have to tell you, passages like this have been the bedrock for Christian missions for centuries. Because they read passages like this and they go, it's impossible to fail. You cannot fail. Sharing the gospel with somebody and them not receiving Christ is not a failure on your part. It's within the sovereign plan of God. Now, whether or not he may or may not do it at that moment or another moment, that's all in God's timing and by his will and his declaration. But I have to tell you, every single person that the Father gives to the Son is going to be given to the Son, and the Son will receive them, and he will receive them eternally. This should give us a tremendous amount of really like excitement and encouragement to share the gospel with people. Not the opposite, but to share the gospel, because you know that the gospel cannot fail. Does God appoint the means as well as the ends? He does. And the means by which people are drawn out of the world by the Father and given over to the Son is the preaching of the gospel. And this is the reason why we preach the gospel. Right? Paul would say in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. So the gospel is the thing that God uses. We should not shy away from sharing the gospel. Because all of those whom the Father gives to the Son will go to the Son. He says in verse 7, now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. Everything that the Son has is from the Father. And the Father is happy to give to the Son. There's this, again, there's a mystery, isn't there, into the triune nature of God, where everything that the Father has is always and eternally already been the Son's and the Spirit's. And yet there's also a real way in real space and time in which because the Son comes and accomplishes his redemptive work, people are actually saved and given over to the Son from the Father. I mean, what's really highlighted here is the mission of Christ to come and redeem the sinner. There is a real work that he does, beloved, for you and for me, for the disciples who are the 11 that are standing there listening to this. As they're taking this in, they know that the reason why they believe in him, the reason why at the end of verse 6, you gave them to me and they have kept your word. That the word kept there, it is used in a way of speaking of something that's already been done. Keeping the word there is more thought of more along the lines of belief. They believe. And by believing in him, they have already kept the word that he has declared, the gospel to them. And they know that everything that the Son has been given to the Son because the Father has given it to the Son. And then verse 8 tells us why. For or since. So verse 7, now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For or since. How do they know? How do they know that everything the Son has is from the Father? Since I have given them the words that you gave me. The only reason why they know, the only reason why they're in the hands of the Son, and the only reason why they know they're in the hands of the Son is because the Father has revealed it. He's actually done it and placed them in the hands of the Son, and then he's revealed to them that they are in the hands of the Son so that we might know and they might know, beloved, that you dwell eternally and securely in the hands of the Son, and your assurance of your salvation and being united with him by faith would soar, because it's when your assurance soars that you are then the most free to live for him in the way that he calls you to. Where does one find the strength to live? When Scripture talks about you pour your life out for those who are around you, you sacrifice your own desires. You prefer others above yourself. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. How do you do that? When you really, really don't want to, and you feel like the other person really, really doesn't deserve it. Because you know that you're assured of your salvation in him, and you can't ever lose the most important thing and the best thing that you have. When you're confident of who you are in Christ and your union with him, you are the most free to serve others. And that's when your love for him begins to soar as well. Who is like our God that loves us to the degree that he does when we know how undeserving of that love we are? Do you know yourself well enough to know how undeserving of the love of Christ you are? Do you see your sinfulness? Do you know how wicked we are in our sin and in our flesh? And he loves you, and he says, I've, as far as the east is from the west, I remember him no more. Do you deserve that type of love? Is that the type of love you receive from your spouse and your kids and your friends and your neighbors? I doubt it. We don't function that way very well, very often. But that's who God is. He would have us know that us relying and living within the hands of the Son means that we are kept. Indeed, beloved, when he declares you forgiven, that's past, present, and future. with an inability to be separated from him and his love for you. That should breed within us a tremendous amount of assurance, well up within us a tremendous amount of love and worship towards him, and then freed to live sacrificially for those who are around us. I have given them the words that you gave me. The reason why you and I believe in him and believe in his word is because he has given us his word so that we might believe it. He's given us his word in a way to where we believe in his word. Was there a time in your life when you did not believe in the word? And now you do? How did that happen? There was a moment in time where he gave you the word and it was no longer something that you just knew, but you believed it. And that's what he continues to go on and say. I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. All of that, the receiving of the word, the coming to know the truth, and believing in him are all from him, and they all happen in that order. You had to receive the word that he gave. You had to come then know that truth. And then in knowing it, you believed in it. And that, beloved, that right there is the gospel in a nutshell. The gospel is receive, believe, trust, rest in him. And that's what happens with those who are regenerated, because it's all a work on God's behalf. Is he mentioned anywhere in here about anything that they did to contribute? Father, I gave them, you gave them to me and put them in my hand because they tried really, really hard and they were really, really good. Like, we're just not even in the whole equation other than being the ones that are handed over and given from the Father to the Son. That's the only part that we play. That's grace. That's sheer mercy. And we should know that assurance and have our hearts soar in worship because of it. This is how you and I come to believe. God's gospel is the means by which that happens. We are meant to see how secure we are in his hand, what an assurance we have, and the freedom that there is in us being able to share the gospel, even in persecution. You can imagine how helpful and comforting these words were to be to them. For he had just got done telling them, people are going to murder you and kill you. Because they, in doing so, they think that they're going to be making an offering to God. But that even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, even if you were to be, your life was to be taken from you because of your faith in Christ, you could close your eyes for that last time, knowing with full assurance who you're going to see the next time you open them. That is a blessed assurance. What a life has been given to us, what grace has been given to us that we might know this, to help us love him, which then frees us to worship him and to serve others. Let's pray. Father, as we hear our Lord speaking, I pray, Lord, that our eyes are set upon Jesus.